This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Draymond Green catches the inbounds, feeds post. He steps out on Adekupo and hits a three. 42-39, Post now with 8 points.
Bay Area, it's Quinton Post. Catch my head coach Steve Kerr with Willard and Dibs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Well, that's coming up in 26 minutes, actually.
I can't wait.
Why are you smiling?
Because we get happy, Steve. Like, if they would have lost last night after losing to Denver without Jokic and Murray, and then you come out and you don't beat Milwaukee and you've lost two in a row and now you're the 8 seed, you might get sullen Kerr, not chipper Kerr.
I don't care.
Angry, yes. Kerr, like frustrated Kerr.
But he's always a great interview.
Yeah, of course.
And he gives good answers.
No, he's always like... Like he'd handle it, but like he
course.
Was... He Look, the game against Denver...
After the first quarter.
I think if you're a champion mentality person, and obviously these guys are, they don't do what we just did. Do you notice what I think most fans do? Oh, well, you screwed up on Monday... But you came back and surprised us on Tuesday, so it's all good.
Yeah, we're back in.
Even Steven.
We're back in.
I think the championship mindset is, I still can't believe we blew Monday. There's no reason for us to perform that way. Like, I'm not saying they don't forgive themselves. You know, you go out there sometimes, you don't have your stuff, you make bad decisions, and all of that. But going into last night's game, they're an, quote, underdog. But I didn't see it that way. I know the Warriors are better than the Bucks. I know this. If you watch the Bucks a lot over the last month, the Warriors are a better basketball team than the Bucks, and they had them on their home floor. And I understand that Steph Curry's out, and so that's a piece of the puzzle. But good Lord, you're telling me that between Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Jonathan Kuminga, and the rest of these role players we've come to know so well, that if they hit some shots like Pods and Buddy Hield did, you're telling me they can't win that basketball game? Well, of course they can. They did. I expected them to. And I'm sure that they expected themselves to. So I wonder. You're right. I'm not saying Steve's going to be in fine mood, I would imagine. I don't want to speak for his mood.
Well,
but I don't think he's sitting here like hopping mad, but I also don't think that they sit there in the tape room and go, okay, everything's all better now because you won the next night. You still had a really bad performance Monday, and it hurt you. It absolutely hurt you. You would have breathing room on Minnesota and the Clippers that you don't have.
Right, well, but you also look at it from the bigger picture of what you've done since Jimmy's come, and you've been amazing. So you know,
absolutely.
I do think your greater point is the fact that fans, we rise and fall with every loss, every miss, every quarter. And if you're Steve Kerr and you're now the all-time winningest coach in Warrior history, and you've got four titles, and as I mentioned, you've won 9 of the last 28 in some way, shape, or form, you understand that nights like Monday is going to happen. And nights like last night are also going to happen where, yeah, it's a make or miss league. I get that. And last night it got a little bit shaky at times, but you had a couple of big shots down the stretch. And we just talked to Brandon Podziemski and he had a couple of them. And Jimmy Butler held it down without Steph Curry and you got the win. So if Monday against Denver was a bogey, or yeah, maybe he was even a double bogey because they didn't have Jokic or Murray. Well, last night was a birdie. So you're on to the next hole. And, you know, you get a game tomorrow, and
yes,
it's a game that you should win.
Have to win.
Well, I mean,
No.
You don't have to win it.
Yes, you do. Well, if everything that I've been saying for the last 48 hours is tucked into the idea of you have to do X, .. if you want to seriously give yourselves a shot at doing what you say you want to do. I don't think there's room right now to blow one against a bad team.
Well, you shouldn't. I mean, there is room depending on what other teams also do. So you don't know what room there is, but when you take on Toronto at home, a Toronto team that is 5.5 out of the 10 seed, and they're basically in shut it down mode. Yeah, and I would imagine that the spread tomorrow is going to be 8.5 or 9 if Steph plays. You should absolutely win that game. And that's kind of the point for me about the last two games, where Denver was a bogey and last night was a birdie, where you were underdog on your home floor without your best player and you still went out and won.
Yeah, I just didn't think they should have been an underdog.
And they were a small dog.
It was a small dog. And you and I, prior to the homestand, I had sort of said, like, par is 4-1. Well, now they're 3-1, and they've got a game against the Raptors tomorrow night that in theory they should win. And they will go 4-1, and that works out well. Except it doesn't feel as good because of the nature of the Denver loss, number one. And number two, these other teams are really heating up in some sort of crazy way. Like that, for me, as significant as what the Warriors did last night was what the Clippers did. That confirmed for me. Do you remember this conversation briefly came up on the crossover 2 or 3 days ago? And I think it was Steiny asked you, would you rather go into the play-in tournament as the 7, and therefore you're likely going to get the 7, and you end up getting to play Houston or Memphis, or would you rather secure the 6, but you're going to have to play Denver or L.A.? And I like, you and I answered that differently. I will take the 6.
Yep.
Because I do not... I guess the premise of the idea is that you get the 7 and then you win the game, but dude, Warriors versus Clippers on night one of the play-in tournament is disgusting.
It's tough.
I want no part of that basketball game. None, under any circumstances. You could combine the Lakers and the Nuggets, and I'd rather play that team if I can have the 6.
Well, the Clippers do present a lot of things that you have trouble with.
Absolutely.
Like Zubats, for one.
Yes.
And Zubats last night, 28-20, to your point about, you know, their win over Cleveland. Zubats is a handful, and you have Kawhi and James Harden, who are both very difficult covers, and James Harden does a lot of the things that, you know, you hate as a Warrior fan, with the head snap, and he gets to the foul line, and Kawhi Leonard is probably pretty rested. The dude hasn't played a lot of basketball this year.
He was phenomenal last night.
He was awesome last night.
He was phenomenal last night.
And when he's right, he is one of the toughest players to guard because he can score at all three levels.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Fred in Richmond. Steve Kerr joins us in less than 20 minutes. Hi, Fred. Thanks for calling.
Willard and Diaz, what's going on, guys?
What
thanks
is
for having me on.
Good. Yeah, thanks for calling.
All right. I called right before the homestand, and I was saying 5-2 would be amazing, and 6-1 would be greedy. So I'm looking at pretty good right now, hoping that we can just get greedy and get Toronto tomorrow, just like you were saying earlier, that Toronto is really shut down. So it's about time that the Warriors start stacking them wins, like Jimmy said, and let's see what they do for the rest of the season. I'm hoping we can get that 5 seed. But if we stuck in the 6, bring on Denver. I think that was a lapse when they played Denver on Monday. Once they knew Jokic and Murray wasn't playing, they lost their mental edge. But they got it right back. Draymond put himself back in a conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. Let's go finish this season off and start the playoffs. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Fred, appreciate it. I was looking at it last night, and I know we did this with Minnesota already. I think that somewhere along the line when the Warriors were losing a good handful of games in December and January, we lost sight of something that Steve Kerr said to us early in the year. He said, I think this is a 50-win team. And obviously, if they end up with 49, that's like, you know, that fits into the nature of what he's saying. But I don't think we were thinking that 50 wins was still possible. They've got 13 games to go. And it's not just that I think it's possible that they do get 50. They might need it. I honestly, to get the six, it might be about like that. That might be about what they need if they actually want the 6. Minnesota already has 40 wins also. They just happened to, at this moment, have one more loss than the Warriors, but they get back-to-back games against New Orleans starting tonight. And if you look at the rest of the way with the Warriors' schedule, and I don't want to play win-loss. I don't want to do that. I have no idea if they're all going to play all the games, if they're going to be healthy or whatnot, but you look like how many games left would you say have a high level of a degree of difficulty to them? Okay, Toronto tomorrow night is a no. At Atlanta, has that got a high degree of difficulty to it?
No.
No, at Miami Tuesday, I know that's Jimmy's return to Miami, but they are awful right now.
Yeah,
they have shut it down.
But you do have a couple of nights off, and so that means you're going to be in Miami for a couple of days.
Yeah.
That one could be sticky.
They could handle that. That's what they do, man.
I'm just saying, you know that certain cities are more difficult than others.
Sure.
Atlanta is one.
And then
good
Miami.
Thing it's at the front end of the trip. But so you get to Atlanta, you don't have time to get down to Buckhead.
Well,
but you're winning in Atlanta.
Go out there on Friday, though.
Yeah.
You go out there on Friday.
You got
extra night now.
You do,
okay.
But you got that extra night in Miami. So that becomes a little tougher, and I do think that the heat is going to get up for Jimmy Butler.
Okay, maybe. I'm sure they will,
yeah.
Obviously. It's a national TNT game, and everybody's going to be looking at it. Then you've got a couple nights off, and you go to New Orleans.
Nah.
Then another night off, and you go to San Antonio. I don't see a whole lot of crap coming
Chris
at you
Paul
next
revenge
week.
Revenge game now.
Okay. That's exciting.
Yep.
Okay, so that's the full next week. You don't play any high-level opponents. I'm not saying there aren't, potholes out there.
Sure.
But no high-level opponents. Then it's Tuesday, April 1st in Memphis, Thursday, April 3rd in L.A., turn right around the next night and come back here for Denver, then get a night off and Houston. So to me, all four qualify.
Difficult, yep.
As high level of difficulty. And then you're at Phoenix, you're home to San Antonio, you're at Portland. Again, not saying that you couldn't have a hiccup in there, but not high level of difficulty. And then you finish with the Clippers right here on the last day of the season, which might end up meaning something.
It might be who goes to the play-in.
Right.
Or it might be a play-in preview game.
Or play-out. Call it a play out of the play in.
Well, if Minnesota's the 6 at that point and you guys are 7-8, it might be the game to decide who hosts the first play in game.
That's terrifying.
You know? It is.
But anyway, I would look at this as you've got 13 games left and at least 5 of them are high level of difficulty. So to go 10-3 is going to be real, real hard. It's going to be really, really hard. And I'm not saying the Warriors can't win hard games. They just won one last night. So they can do it. A lot of them are at home. But they might need to. I'm just looking at the lay of the land in the West, and if you want to secure six, it might take that. It might take 50 wins.
It might, but you also look at Memphis, a team that's been struggling of late, and Memphis is a team that might, you know, continue to come back to you, and they've only won 5 of their last 10. You've picked up 3 games on Memphis, and so that's a team that might continue to slide down the standings as Minnesota rises and the Warriors rise. Memphis could be a team that's also kind of playing for the sixth seed as well.
They're all in this. Everybody yeah. is in this. You know, even Pods was, I know that 2 nights ago we gave up on the whole, like, Denver. I mean, Steve had said it. If we lose tonight, we're not going to catch Denver because now we don't even have the tiebreaker. And, you know, they're going to be 3.5 ahead instead of 2.5 or whatever. Pods still sounded very interested to sit down and watch Lakers-Nuggets tonight on national TV.
Yeah. And, I mean, you're 3 back of the Lakers, you're 4 back of Denver, 4 back of Houston with 13 to go.
Yep.
That feels like a bit of a stretch. Even if you go 10-3 and you win 50, you would need, well, you have the tiebreaker over Houston, so you would need them to go 6-7 over their next 13.
Probably
to
not.
To tie them.
Probably not.
And that becomes tough. And, you know, Denver, the same record. And the Lakers have 15 more games. So,
yeah.
Their schedule
and one of them is against you.
Yep.
One of them is against you. So, 888-957-9570, Steve Kerr in about 12 minutes. Mr. D in the city. What up, Mr. D? What are you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm driving home from the shop. Just got the car out the shop.
Okay. How's it sounding?
It's great. It was a house paid maintenance. And everything is good.
Okay.
A brand new car better be good.
Okay. Don't jinx it.
Hey, listen. This thing, looking in the rearview mirror, I mean, that's good for the fans. And while I agree the age of our team, we need that week off. So it'd be nice to get the 6th seed. But I don't think champions really look in the rearview mirror like that. They play who's ever in front of them, and they let the chips fall where they may. So that's for the fans looking in the rear. Well, we got 13 games. Oh, we need to win. I don't think they look at all that.
Here's what I mean by that, Mr. D, and I appreciate your response, but everybody I've ever known who is a championship-winning athlete will tell you they remember the losses a hell of a lot more than they remember the wins. Like, and I just think it's the way they're wired. You know what I mean? Like, if Kobe Bryant were to come down from the heavens and join us on the show today, and you asked him, like, what sticks with you more when you look back on your life? Is it any of those championship rings, or is it when Detroit beat you in 5, or when Boston embarrassed you in the NBA Finals? Mr. D, I think I know what he would say. Don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, you hate the loss. I would rather lose by 100 than to lose by 1. You know, that's just the thing. But, I think the Warriors, they need to get that week off because of their age. So they can have that reset. But
say it. Say it. These are facts. I agree with you, Mr. D.
Yeah, they need that reset. But as far as who they're going to play, they can beat anybody. They can beat anybody, but they have to be fresh. I'm telling you, Steph, he hasn't been right since that game when the women called it. He hasn't been right. And I hope he didn't tweak his back that night. But I know I saw him grimace, and I know I saw him go out. And nobody said what it was about, but I know he hasn't been right since that game. It's been 4 or 5 games he hasn't been right. And that kind of dates back to what happened that night.
Yeah, Mr. D, appreciate it. I sort of, look, we're just guessing here. The Warriors have publicly stated, and so has Steph, that he is, quote, fine, that he is fine physically. This was about a mental reset that was necessary. Steve thinks that when you see him make bad decisions, that means there's an emotional wellness kind of a thing going on. Needs to just chill for a second and take a game off. Okay, that's fine. But if I were to guess, like, there are some physical aspects to this as well. I mean, Steph also said, yeah, back's been bothering me a little bit. And then you've brought up that if you go back on the timing of what's been going on with his knee,
yeah,
and whether whatever they did to sort of put a Band-Aid on that a number of weeks ago.
Probably more than a Band-Aid. But yeah,
right, but you get what I'm saying.
I do.
Time for another one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? DJ Khaled, okay? Another one.
Yeah.
It's time.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you get to that point in the year where you get down the stretch, and sure, no matter what is ailing you, you get to mid-March, late March, and you're in a fight for a playoff seed. You're going to do whatever you can to get right, and part of that might be taking a game off. And so last night was a game where Rick Celebrini, the doctor, probably thought that it was best that he rest, and so that's it. Steph, you don't get to play, and I wonder about Thursday, and we'll ask Steve Kerr coming up here in about 10 minutes about Steph Curry. How's he doing? I mean, do you think that he is trending toward playing? How's the back? Was it rest? I mean, we can ask it a number of different ways, and he's going to answer it the same way, which is
questionable.
Well, you know, we're going to have to see how he is when we get back tomorrow, and, you know, happy to have him on the bench yesterday. And it was kind of fun to watch Steve and Steph during timeouts, like, having conversations about what's going on. And, you know, Steph obviously was offering input, and just to see Steph as a coach in that mode, it was kind of fun to see.
Yeah, I mean,
in the streets.
Sure, sure. But, like, I mean, the way Steve said it after the game, again, I don't think he's going to break any news here on the show. Maybe he will. But the way he said it after the game leads us down the road that Steph should be back tomorrow night.
Yeah, you would figure. It should be.
Steph's fine. Steph needed a mental reset and got it. I think it'd be weird for the Warriors to come out and say, doing it again. Doing it again against Toronto.
Well, then it would have to be an actual injury, you know. And it was listed as rest, and part of it was listed as
good
his
point.
Back. But, you know, you can't list somebody with a rest ailment two times in a row.
Yeah, I don't think
the league won't like that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they'll fine you.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bleacher Dave in West Oakland. Hi, Bleacher Dave. What's up?
Bleacher Dave?
Yeah.
Wow.
Willard and Dave? Wow. What's up, y'all?
What's up, Bleacher Dave? How's that shower radio working?
You know, I was just going to bring that up. My wife was cleaning up some stuff, happened to bump into that thing, and it is still working. I'm sure you're glad to know.
I'm so glad to know it. I famously bumped into him in the bleachers at, I think it was an A's game. Had to be like almost 20 years ago, Bleacher Dave.
I don't think it was A's, but it was at Big Phone Park.
Yeah, Big Phone Park. Yeah, and he was listening to the game on a shower radio.
Yeah, with a copy of the Balco book.
Yep.
For Bomb, so I can get Bomb signature.
It's so great. One of the all-time great sports talk listeners in this and any other market, Bleacher Dave, ladies and gentlemen.
And in stadium opposing team heckler. I've had whole sections yelling at me, including Lucille trying to steal my A's.
Who was the receiver of your favorite heckle ever, Bleacher Dave?
Oh my God, you're putting me on the spot.
You damn right.
I got a whole bunch of them.
It's a great question.
I got a whole bunch of them. Maybe it was when Larry Bear was asking me how I got those seats behind home plate where I was doing guerrilla marketing, as he put it. And I said, why, Mr. Bear, you gave them to me. That might have been a good one.
Yep.
Perhaps it was the time I told Torrey Hunter after he dove for that missed inside the park home run in Minnesota. Next game back in Oakland, and I sat behind him for a long time. Hey, Kedar, if Torrey's spelled with two I's, how come you can't see? if you watch that game from the behind home plate camera, you can see him turn around and laugh.
I mean, it is a pretty good line.
Anyway.
It's a pretty good line. Go ahead, Bleacher Dave. What you got?
Hey, tip your waitress. Jokes later. Look, the Dubs are relevant again, and there's nothing more, no more exciting. Few things as exciting. Maybe no more exciting because the one team, one basketball team we always had, than when the Warriors are doing their thing. And Breen said this Saturday night, there's a different feeling in the arena these days. And it was that new feeling from the – and my wife and I get to a decent number of games. Our first game after Jimmy Butler played his first home game, after he had done so well on the road, you could feel it. And you've been able to feel the palpable energy there. And here's a sure signal. When the crowd starts breaking out in the Warriors chants and the Warriors clap, clap, clap stuff without the video board coming on, you know that people are into it. A lot more people buying this. My guess, you got a lot more people buying on the secondary market coming from the East Bay. The ferries are filled. But just kind of an aside, let me get to the point. 51, I think we're going to catch one of these. There was four before we lost to the Nuggets. There was four teams at 25 losses, and we had 28. I think two of those teams are going to come back to the pack, and we're going to get at least fifth. I do think the Wolves are going to pass us because, as you said, you can't know who's going to play. Blah, blah. They have a third softest schedule in the league. It is cake. As well as I think the Warriors are going to play down the stretch, and I think they're going to have a really good record. I just don't know how they can continue to be better than the Wolves.
Yeah, Bleacher Dave, the math of what you're talking about is going to be tough, which is that Minnesota will pass the Warriors, and then the Warriors will pass basically two other teams and end up in at least the five. That would tell you that Memphis is going to have to fall apart. And then I would imagine either Houston or it means LeBron is not coming back anytime soon and the Lakers keep losing. But they've won a couple in a row. So we'll see. Look, we'll talk this all out with Steve, okay? Here comes Steve Kerr joining us coming up next. We're sponsored by Frontier Ford, and this is Willard and Dibbs.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With the ball, guarded by Kuzma. Warriors played last night, lost to Denver. Milwaukee was waiting. Bounce pass, Kuminga back to Butler. Checks the clock with seven. Here comes Post the screen. Butler now gets Prince. He'll drive into traffic. Spins it outside. Payton, top of the key, three on the way. Got it! GP2 with a big-time bucket right there.
That was huge.
96-88, his second field goal of the night.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, you're going to be listening to Steve Kerr, actually, here in just a second, because he's going to join us here on the River Islands guest line every week. Great Clips sponsors our conversation with Coach Kerr, and for the next couple of weeks, they've got a special gift for one of our lucky listeners. Immediately following our conversation with the coach, we're giving away one $125 gift card to Great Clips. So with that, out to the River Islands guest line we go. It is time for Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips and Sports. Success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Hey, Coach, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. Congrats on getting the most wins as a Warrior coach ever.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's kind of surreal, to be honest with you. It happened pretty quickly, but it's a result of having a lot of amazing, talented players, that's for sure.
Yeah, I wonder if this just popped to mind, because I'm thinking about your accomplishment. I'm thinking about Steph with the 4,000 threes, the 25,000 points. It feels like twice a week you guys are asked to kind of like reflect on your career. Does that actually keep happening, or does it just kind of all run together at a certain point?
I think with Steph, for sure. I mean, he just racks up records left and right, and it seems like there's a milestone every week, and of course he's going to be asked about it. I think in general, look, we're at the tail end of just an epic run, and these things don't happen very often. So when they do, you have to enjoy every second of it, and that's what we're trying to do. I mean, this has been so much fun the last few weeks to kind of reignite the flame and to realize, hey, we still have something here, and we've got a shot. And I think every guy in that locker room is enjoying it.
Yeah, hopefully we're not at the tail end of the tail end, and we get a couple more seasons at least of this. And I couldn't help but wonder about Steph himself, and he sat out yesterday, and I know that it's his back, which has been a little bit ailing him, and also a little bit of rest. How's he doing, and how's he trending toward tomorrow?
He's doing great. I mean, he's going to play tomorrow. I think, I know Steph so well. He's a guy who puts his heart and soul into everything, and you almost have to protect him from himself at times. And so, that rest last night was, something that I felt really strongly about. I went to him, the night before after the Denver game. He fought me on it a little bit, but I just told him, I go, look, I know you well, and you need a night off. And it's no different from a baseball player. Those guys play every single night, every once in a while. Hey, just take a seat and take a night off, and you'll come back refreshed, and your at bats will be a little better the following night. I really feel like basketball players need that too occasionally. It's just that it's not the norm. We're not supposed to do that, but screw that, we're doing it. And I think Steph needed a night off.
How does that conversation go? You said he fought you on it a little bit.
Steph is the absolute best guy I can imagine to coach, because there's never any pretense. There's never any BS. It's so matter of fact. It's just, hey, here's what I think. And then, he lays out what he thinks, and we just come to a conclusion. We make a decision and we move on, and we don't even look back. And I can explain it to the media exactly as it is. I think there are a lot of athletes who might have been offended by me saying, hey, he needed an emotional break. Steph's not offended by that, because he knows it's true. It's fine. Like, that's part of it. Performance is really about a you know, a series of things. It's your physical well-being, but it's also your mental and emotional capacity, where you are, what's going on in your life. Everyone needs a day off once in a while, and that's okay. And I think Steph recognizes that, and the conversation's an easy one, and we just move forward. That's why he's the most amazing guy to coach that I can even imagine.
I'm fascinated by what it was you saw in the Denver game that led you to that opinion. Like, what are the specifics that go into what you noticed?
Well, like I said, it's been 11 years that we've collaborated and gotten to know each other. And, you know, frequently around this time, March, April, late in the season, there just comes a time where you can see with his decision making that he's, you know, he's a little off. And I've seen that the last couple games. And when that happens, it's, you know, it's just a reminder to him to, you know, hey, let's, you know, take a day or, you know, go play golf. Like, you know, let's get settled and centered. And you got to remember, this guy's got a million things in his life. You know, he's when he's not, you know, saving the Warriors, he's saving the world. And it's incredible what he does to help people and the number of lives he touches. And I think it's important every once in a while to remind him to just take care of himself and take a day and you know, fill up the cup again.
How tough is that, though, to make that choice, knowing he's your best player, and then also realizing that you've got Milwaukee coming in, and you can't really trick off these games. So you get into last night. What's the message for the team, knowing that you're not going to have Steph?
In many ways, it's a good thing for the team. I learned this from Greg Popovich. It forces the rest of the guys to step up. It forces guys to focus. It also prepares you for a game later on, maybe, where, you know, Steph gets injured in the playoffs. You got to win a game. Well, hey, we did this before. We beat Milwaukee without him. You know, you want to see your team respond to different types of adversity and you know, it's no different from Denver the night before. You know, Jokic, Murray, they take the night off. The team wins. They feel stronger for it. These moments can strengthen a team, and I think a lot of coaches around the league recognize that.
Steve and Steve Kerr with us on Willard and Dibbs. You told us, I think it was last year, that you hate it when the best player on the other team gets ruled out.
Yeah,
you know, because you feel like the team relaxes, and you spoke that maybe there was a little bit of that against Denver on Monday night. Did you sense any of that with Milwaukee last night with the good start that you guys got off to?
No, I didn't sense anything from Milwaukee's end. I sensed from our end that there was a great focus, and I would have expected that even with Steph in the lineup, because you know, our team, when we lose in an embarrassing manner like we did, we're going to respond well that next night. So I think that was part of it, but you know, more than anything, I just think we have a really good team, and we've been in a great groove, and we had a slip up, we recognized it, and we locked in and played a really good game, and that's the sign of a good team.
Locked in and locked down, maybe the most singular force in the history of the association, the Greek Freak. Zero field goals made against Draymond Green. When you watch that performance and you realize he's only been Defensive Player of the Year once, is that crazy to you, Steve?
It is, because I think he's the best defender in the world, and I realize how good Wembanyama is, how good Rudy Gobert is, and others. But Draymond said it himself. Ask the other coaches around the league who they don't want to face. And I've, you know, I have personally asked other coaches around the league, my friends, and trust me, there's so much respect for Draymond around the league amongst the coaches. They see the versatility in his defense. You know, these other guys are good defenders. I don't think any of them can do everything. Protect the rim, guard pick and roll out at half court, blow up stuff from the weak side. Draymond is, he's a defensive genius. He's also a competitive freak of nature. Obviously, his emotion gets the best of him at times. But it's all part of the package, and the package is it's incredibly disruptive to opposing teams. And we're so lucky to have him. He remains an amazing player, even at this stage of his career.
Coach, last week we asked you about the reintegration of Jonathan Kuminga. You said it was going to be a slow process. He came out and had a great first game back, I thought. It's now been four games, a little bit of a mixed bag. What are you seeing, and what have the challenges related been?
It's hard when you come back off of 10 weeks of being absent, and especially coming back to a brand new team. This is a very different team than the one he left. And so it's a little tricky to try to find your place in that, especially when the team's winning. You know, we're whatever we are since we got Jimmy, 15-2 or something. So the focus for JK just has to be play as hard as he can for short bursts. When he does that, he's really good. Like you mentioned, the Sacramento game. I think that's got to be the focus. Run the floor really hard, attack the rim, play in short bursts, and work your way back in. And I think that's his focus right now.
Starting lineup, finishing lineup, it seems like all of it's malleable based on how everyone's playing. When you look at last night and you got down to crunch time, you didn't have JK in there. Was that a matchup thing or just you going with the hot hands?
Well, I think if you look at our team right now, we have a lot of options to close games. I mean, the three guys who are going to be automatic are Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy. They're going to be out there every game. The other two slots, look, BP was amazing last night. He deserved to be out there. Gary Payton, he has been playing incredible basketball the last couple weeks, and we needed him on Damian Lillard. So he was the obvious choice last night. Buddy Hield played big minutes down the stretch in that game. It could be Moses. Buddy and Moses we need for the shooting. Quentin Post played big minutes in the fourth quarter. If we want to space the floor with our five-man to create the spacing that Jimmy needs, then Quentin makes sense. And then J.K. fits in there as well, the athleticism, the switching. If the matchups lead to that decision, then JK will be out there like he was against Denver down the stretch. So we've got a lot of options, but I can tell you right now that it's going to be somebody different each night depending on how the game's going.
Steve, I wonder if you can help us through a conversation we were having earlier today. I think for a lot of fans, they look at Monday's game and they wake up frustrated, and then you surprise everybody by beating Milwaukee without Steph, and everyone goes, okay, all square, all even, they went 1-1, it's all good. Is it that way for you guys? Did last night help you forget Monday, or is Monday still a source of frustration?
No, you move on. You move on. And look, you also recognize that over the course of 82 games, every team has those nights. In fact, Denver had one the night, the game before our game. They lost at home to Washington. So that's part of the reason they came out and played the way they did without Jokic and Murray, So we had one against Denver, so we responded. And, Milwaukee, same thing. Every team in the league has these stretches. It's human nature. Every team's got talent. Shots go in, shots don't go in. But over the course of the 82, there's just these huge swings, both health-wise, emotion-wise, and you just have to navigate the whole thing and keep moving forward.
How much has Jimmy Butler been a steadying influence, another additional steadying influence in that? I know he's never won a championship, but he took Miami deep on a couple of different occasions. Does that just give you an additional piece of somebody who is a veteran who kind of knows what's going on?
Well, I think there is a presence to Jimmy that leads to winning. It's a swagger, even, amongst, the all the alphas in the NBA. I think Jimmy is an alpha among alphas. I really do. And I think Steph and Draymond needed that. They needed somebody like him because they were in some ways, not feeling like they had enough of that next to them, like we've had in the past. We've been spoiled, obviously, with the talent that we've had here, but also the maturity and the presence. And so, you know, that was missing earlier in the year. Jimmy is, he's got presence. He's got swagger. He's got belief. You guys can feel it watching the games. Our teammates feel it. Our fans feel it. The guy wins games, and it's showing.
Wait a minute, Steve. Are you saying that you've got NBA alpha rankings and Jimmy Butler is number one?
Wow.
He's. I can tell you this. That's how he feels about himself, and that's hugely important. The number one guy of all time was Michael Jordan. Okay, like yep. You know, as his teammate, I would walk into that arena, and I would know that the other team was afraid of him, the officials were afraid of him, the fans were afraid of him, and even his own teammates, we were all a little afraid of him. Okay, and we all knew we were going to win. And that was, you know, that was the deal. Michael just dominated the space. And there are very few guys like that. And but when you have guys like that, there's an incredible sense of security and confidence. And I think Jimmy's one of those guys. You can just feel his presence all the time.
Speaking of alpha behavior, we had a caller last week, or it was the beginning of this week. We were talking about you, actually, and becoming the winningest coach of the Warriors. And we had a caller call in who said that he worked like security detail or something inside the building when you first arrived as head coach. And he stated that he was there for your very first practice and that you set the tone by kicking everybody, the whole team, out of practice because they were dribbling too much. Is this a true story in any way, shape, or form?
It does not ring a bell, guys.
Okay.
I guarantee you, I didn't kick everybody else out of practice. I've never done that, and so I don't know where that came from.
Have you kicked individuals out of practice before?
Potentially, yeah, okay. That might have happened once.
I like that.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Okay.
Sorry, I guess to follow up and ask you to name names probably won't happen. So, yeah. Well, pivot. Just your notion of alphas had me thinking about your San Antonio Spurs championship teams, and I'm wondering about Manu and Tony and Tim Duncan. Were any of them cut from the same kind of cloth that you're describing with Jimmy Butler and Michael Jordan, or does it not necessarily have to be that?
I think Avery Johnson was, honestly, and it was an interesting dynamic because, you know, usually the guy who's the alpha is also the best player, you know, but I think, you know, Tim Duncan was a lot more like Steph in terms of, like, incredibly competitive and skilled and talented and an amazing leader, but it came from humility. And, you know, the type of alpha that I'm talking about, it doesn't come from humility. It comes from the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, I am the best here, and you guys are going to, you know, follow me. And that's the way it is. So it's a very different form of leadership. And Avery actually had that. And it was ironic because he was like the fourth best player on the team. but it was a well-constructed team because, you know, I thought Tim and David were very soft-spoken and we needed the fire and the leadership that Avery brought us. And, you know, Pop sensed that too. And so Pop provided a lot of that alpha, you know, presence. And so, you know, every team's different. That's what makes it so much fun is the construction of a group of human beings and how they interact. It's fascinating.
All right, Coach, tell me what I've got right and tell me what I've got wrong as far as your itinerary later. Dinner, 6:30. About 7:15, you sit down to watch Lakers and Nuggets. And then post-game, 10 o'clock tonight, you sit down and fill out a bracket. What did I get right? What did I get wrong?
Dinner, yes. Lakers Nuggets, yes. Bracket, thanks for the reminder. I need to... For the 30th year in a row, I need to pick Arizona to win the national championship.
You got a possible matchup against Mike Dunleavy in the 16 because Duke is the one seed in the region with Arizona. Is there any sort of like trash talk? I know Draymond Green with Michigan State, he's probably talking a lot about their chances.
There's always, good-natured trash talk tournament time. That's what makes it fun. I just hope we get there and we get a crack at Mike Dunleavy's Blue Devils. That would be fun.
Don't you? Isn't the second round matchup potentially Oregon? Is that right?
Yeah. Oregon. Yeah. If we win and they win, we would play in the 4-5 matchup in Seattle. Old school Pac-12 matchup. I love it.
What's your breakdown of that potential matchup, Coach?
I don't watch college basketball except for Arizona. I can tell you a lot about Arizona's team. I don't know anything about Oregon's team. So I am just a fan, and I will always love my alma mater. I'm very close with Tommy Lloyd, who's a fantastic coach. We text all the time. So I'm pulling hard for them, and that school means everything to me. What that school did for me in my life, I will be a forever Wildcat, that's for sure.
Is that the one that got away, Steve? Because I always joke with Mark how you've won 9 of the last 29 NBA titles, but I think about your Arizona team senior year, and you lost in the Final Four to Oklahoma, a very good team. Do you ever reflect on that being the one that got away?
The only game I ever think about, honestly, anymore in my life. I still think about that game. It's absolutely the one that got away. I completely choked. We had an amazing team, 35-2 playing against Oklahoma in the Final Four. I shot 2-for-13 in that game, and it's haunted me ever since. I still can't get over it, guys. I'm sick.
I feel bad for bringing it up.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot. You ruined my night.
Hey, remember when Kyrie hit that three against you guys? Remember that one? Let's just go through all of them.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, okay.
I just remember that team because your teammate, Craig McMillan was from Cloverdale, who played high school ball against my brother, and so I was kind of distantly attracted to that team because he was almost kind of a local kid who went on to do big things at Arizona, and then, yeah, sorry about that, Steve.
Well, and my buddy Tom Tolbert, your media colleague, was on that team. Sean Elliott, Kenny Lofton, future baseball player. We were loaded, and we had such an incredible group. In fact, I'm hosting a bunch of them in a couple of weeks. They're all going to come out. We're going to have a little reunion. They're going to come up for a weekend and for a game, and can't wait to see those guys. But that's definitely the one that got away. It's part of sports. I get it, but. That game will forever haunt me, unfortunately.
Steve, is Kenny going to be part of the group that comes when you invite them all?
He's one of the few guys who couldn't make it. He's going to be in Cleveland for an Indians reunion. He can't make it, but a lot of the other guys are coming. It's going to be fun.
Okay, I beat him on the golf course one time, and I was going to ask you to follow up and talk some more trash on my behalf, but if he won't be there... Oh, well.
You must be good then, because Kenny can play golf. He's a good golfer.
Well, we both kind of choked down the stretch. I just choked a little bit less. So it was, anyway, all good. Steve, thanks so much, and enjoy what sounds like a perfect night.
You too, guys. Take care.
All right, there thanks, he goes. Steve Kerr joining us right here on Willard and Dibs. And as promised, here we go. Caller number 5 to the contest line right now wins a $125 gift card to Great Clips. Caller number 5, contest line, if you don't have it, 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. Caller 5 gets $125 to Great Clips. Great to have Steve Kerr on. We'll react to that. We'll reopen it to your phone calls. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank here for you, here for good, Willard and Dibs.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.